Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, a new commentary. Discourse number 21, given in Bombay, India.
Concerned with the practice of looking, before we enter these techniques, something has to be understood about the eyes. Because all these seven techniques depend on that. The first thing, eyes are the most non-bodily part in human body, the least bodily. If matter can become non-matter, then eyes are the phenomena. Eyes are material, but simultaneously also non-material. Eyes are a meeting point of you and your body. The meeting is nowhere else in the body so deep. The remaining body and you are much separated, a great distance is there, but at the point of the eyes, you are nearest to your body, and body is nearest to you. That's why eyes can be used for the inner journey. A single jump from the eyes can lead you to the soul. That's not possible from the hand. Not possible from the heart. Not possible from anywhere else in the body. Then you will have to travel long. The distance is big. But from the eyes, a single step is enough to enter into yourself. That's why eyes have been used continuously in religious yogic tantra practices. The first reason is because you are nearest from there. That's why if you know how to look in somebody's eyes, you can look into his depths. He's there. He's not so present anywhere else in the body. But if you can look into the eyes, it is a difficult art to look into someone else's eyes. And it comes to you only when you have taken a jump from your own eyes within. Otherwise you cannot look. If you have not looked beyond your own eyes within, you cannot have a look into someone else's eyes. But if you know how to look in the eyes, you can touch the depth of the person. That's why only in love you can look straight, stare into eyes. Otherwise, if you stare in somebody's eyes, he will feel offended. You are trespassing. This is a trespass. You can look at the body, there is no trespass. But the moment you stare in somebody's eyes, you are trespassing his individuality. You are trespassing his individual freedom. You are entering him without any invitation. And that's why there is a limit. And they now measure what is the limit. At the most 3 seconds, you can be allowed to look. Just a casual look. And then you have to move your eyes. Otherwise the other will feel offended, and that is violent. Because you can have a glimpse of his inner secrets. And that cannot be allowed. Only in deep love you can look in each other's eyes. Because love means now you do not want to maintain any secrets. You are now open to the other. And the other is always welcome and invited to enter you. And when lovers look in each other's eyes, there is a meeting which is non-bodily. There is a meeting which is not of the body. So the second thing to be remembered, your mind, your consciousness, your soul, whatsoever is within you, can be glimpsed through the eyes. That's why a blind man has a dead face. Not only that eyes are blinking, but the face is dead, not alive. Eyes are the light of the face. They enlighten your face. They give it an inner aliveness. When the eyes are not there, your face lacks aliveness. And a blind man is really closed. You cannot enter him so easily. That's why blind men are very secretive. And you can rely upon a blind man. If you give him a secret, you can rely upon him. He will maintain it. And it is difficult to judge whether he has a secret. But a man with alive eyes can be judged immediately that he has a secret. For example, you are traveling without a ticket in a railway train. Your eyes will go on betraying you that you are without a ticket. It is a secret, no one knows. Only you know. But your eyes will have a different look. And anyone who enters in the train, you will look him with a different quality. And if he can understand the quality, he knows immediately you are without a ticket. The look will be different. When you have a ticket, the look will be different. So if you are hiding a secret, your eyes will reveal it. And to control eyes is very difficult. The most difficult thing in the body is to control the eyes. So everyone cannot become a great detective. Because the basic training of the detective is the training of the eyes. His eyes should not reveal anything. Or, on the contrary, should reveal the contrary. When he is traveling without a ticket, the eyes should reveal that he has got a ticket. Very difficult, because eyes are not voluntary. They are non-voluntary. Now, many experiments are being done on the eyes. Someone is a brahmachari, a celibate, and he says he has no attraction towards women. But his eyes will reveal everything. He may be hiding it. A beautiful woman enters in the room. He may not look at her, but even this not looking at her will reveal. There will be an effort, a subtle suppression, and the eyes will show. Not only that, your pupils of the eyes will expand. When a beautiful woman enters, your pupils of the eyes will expand immediately to allow the beautiful woman more space to go in. And you cannot do anything about it, because those pupils and their expansion is non-voluntary. You cannot do anything. It is absolutely impossible to control them. So the second thing to remember, your eyes are the keys to your secrets. If anyone wants to enter into your secret world, your privacy, eyes are the doors. If he knows how to unlock them, he will become vulnerable, open. And if you want to enter into your secret life, inner life, then again, you will have used the same lock and the unlocking system. You will have to work on your eyes. Only then you can enter. Thirdly, eyes are very liquid, moving, in constant movement. And that movement has its own rhythm, its own system, its own mechanism. Your eyes are not moving at random, anarchically. They have a rhythm of their own, and that rhythm shows many things. If you have a sexual thought in the mind, your eyes move differently, with a different rhythm. Just by looking at your eyes and the movement, one can say what type of thought is moving inside. When you feel hungry and the thought of food is inside, eyes have a different movement. So now, even your dreams can be penetrated. Your eye movements can be recorded while you are asleep. And remember, even in dream, your eyes behave similarly. So if you are seeing a naked woman in your dream, this can be judged from your eye movements. So now they have mechanical devices to know what are the movements of the eyes. These movements are now called REM, rapid eye movements. They can be recorded just on a graph, just like a cardiogram. Whole night you have been sleeping and your eyes can be recorded continuously. And then the graph can show when you were dreaming and when you were not. Because when you are not dreaming, eyes stop and become static. When you are dreaming, they move. And the movement is similar as if you are seeing something on the screen. If you are seeing a film, the eyes have to move. Just the same. In your dream, your eyes move. They are seeing something. They follow the movements of the film. For your eyes, there is no difference between the actual film being shown on the screen or just a dream film. So these RPM recorders, they tell how much you dreamt in the night, for how many moments you were not dreaming, because the eyes stop movement. There are many persons who say they never dream. They are just having a very absent-minded memory, nothing else. They cannot remember, that is the only thing. They are dreaming. Whole night they are dreaming, but they cannot remember. Their memory is not good, that's all. So when they say in the morning there was no dream, don't believe them. Why eyes move when there is a dream, and why eyes stop when there is no dream? Each eye movement is joined to thought process. If thinking is there, eyes will move. If there is no thinking, eyes will not move. There is no need. So remember this third point also, that eye movements and thinking are joined together. That's why if you stop your eyes and their movement, your thought process will stop immediately. Or if your thought process stops, your eyes will stop automatically. And one point more, the fourth. Eyes move continuously from one object to another. From A to B, from B to C, they go on moving. Movement is their nature, just like a river flowing. Movement is their nature. And because of that movement, they are so alive. Movement is life also. If you stop your eyes at a particular point, at a particular object, and don't allow them to move, and movement is their nature, you cannot stop movement. You can stop your eyes. Understand the distinction. You can stop your eyes on a particular fixed point, on a dot on the wall. You can stare at the dot, you can stop your eyes. But movement is their nature. So they will not move from A object to B, because you have forced them to remain at A. But then a very strange phenomenon happens. Because movement is bound to be there, that is their nature. If you don't allow them from A to B movement, they will move from outside to inwards. Either they should move from A to B, or if you don't allow this movement outside, you stop your eyes. Movement is their nature. They need movement. Suddenly, if you stop and don't allow them, they will start moving inwards. So there are two possibilities of movement. From object A to object B, both are out. Both are outside. This is how naturally it is happening. Another possibility, which is of Tantra and Yoga, not allowing movement from one outside object to another, is stopping movement. Then eyes jump from one outside object to inner consciousness. They begin to move inwards. Remember these four points, then it will be easy to understand the techniques. The first technique, eyes closed, see your inner being in detail. Thus see your true nature. Eyes closed. Close your eyes, but this closing is not enough. Total closure means close your eyes and stop their movements. Otherwise, the eyes will continue to see something which is of the outside. Even with closed eyes, you will see things. Images of things. Actual things are not there, but images, ideas of things, collected memories. Now they will start flowing. They are also outside. So still your eyes are not totally closed. Totally closed eyes mean nothing to see. Understand the difference. You can close your eye, that's easy. Everyone closes every moment. In the night you close your eyes, but that will not reveal the inner nature to you. Close your eyes so that nothing remains to be seen. No outside object, no inside image of outside objects. Just a blank darkness, as if you have gone suddenly blind. Not blind only to reality, but to the dream reality also. One has to practice it. A long period will be needed. It cannot be done suddenly. You will need a long training. Close your eyes anytime you feel it is easy and you have time, close your eyes. And then stop all movements of the eyes inside. Don't allow any movement. Feel, don't allow any movement. Stop all movement of the eyes as if they have become stones, and then remain in that stony state of eyes. Don't do anything. Just remain there. Suddenly, someday, you will become aware that you are looking inside yourself. You can come just outside this building and go around the building and have a look. But that is looking the building from the outside. Then you can enter into the rooms, and then you can stand in this room and have a look. That is looking the building from the inside. When outside you were taking a round, you saw the same walls, but not the same sight. Walls were the same, but you were seeing the outside of the walls. When you come in, the walls are the same, but now you will see the inside of the walls. You have seen your body only from outside. You have seen your body in a mirror. Or you have seen your hand from the outside. You don't know what the inside of your body is. You have never entered in your own self. you have never been in the center of your body and being to look around what is there from the inside. This technique is very helpful, to have a look from the inside, and that transforms your total consciousness, your total existence. Because if you can have a look from the inside, you become different immediately from the body. This false identity that I am the body is only because we have been looking at our bodies from the outside. If you can have a look from the inside, the looker becomes different. And then you can move your consciousness into your body from your toe to head. You can have now a round inside the body. And once you become capable of having a look from the inside and moving, then it is not difficult to go outside the body. Once you know how to move, once you know that you are separate from the body, you are freed from a great bondage. Now you have no gravitation, no limitation. Now you are absolute freedom. You can go out of the body also. You can go and come, and then your body becomes just an abode. Close your eyes, see your inner being in detail, and move from limb to limb inside. Just go to your toe, forget the whole body, move to the toe, stand there and have a look. Then move through the legs, come on, upwards, go to every limb. Then many things happen. Many things happen. Then your body becomes such a sensitive vehicle you cannot even imagine. Then if you touch someone, you can move into your hand totally. And then that touch will become transforming. That's what is meant by a teacher's touch, a master's touch. He can move to any limb totally. And then he is there concentrated. If you can move to any part of your body totally, that part becomes alive. So much alive. Then you can move to the eyes totally. If you can move to your eyes totally and then look in someone's eye, you will penetrate him. He will go to his very depth. Now psychoanalysts are trying to go to the depths through psychoanalysis. Then they take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. This is sheer wastage of time. And life is so short that just to analyze a person's mind, if 3 years are taking, this is nonsense. And then too, you cannot rely whether the analysis is complete or not. You are groping in dark. Eastern approach has been through the eyes. No need of analyzing a person for such a long time. Just entering through his eyes totally, touching his depths, knowing many things about him which even he is not aware. The guru has many things to do. One of the basic is this: to analyze you to go deep in you, to move into your darker realms, which are unknown to you. And if he says you that this is hidden in you, you will not believe. How can you believe? Because you are not aware of it. You know only one part of the mind, a very small fragment, just the upper part, just the first layer. Behind it, there are 9 layers hidden, which are not known to you. But through your eyes, a penetration is possible. Close your eyes, see your inner being in detail. The first outer part of it is to look at your body from inwards, from your inner center. Stand there and have a look. You will be separated from the body. Because the looker is never the looked at. The observer is different from the object. If you can see your body totally from inside, now you can never fall in the illusion that you are the body. Now you will remain different, totally different. Inside it, but not it. In the body, but not the body. This is the first part. Then you can move. Now you are free to move. Once freed from the body, freed from the identity, you are free to move. Now you can move into your mind, deep down. Those 9 layers which are hidden and unconscious, now you can enter in them. This is the inner cave of the mind. If you enter this cave of the mind, you will become separate from mind also. Then you will see that the mind is also an object you can look at. And that which is entering the mind is again separate and different. This entry into the mind is meant by inner being in detail. Body, mind, both should be entered and looked from within. Then you are simply a witness. And this witness cannot be penetrated. That's why that is your innermost core. That is you. That which can be penetrated, that which can be seen, is not you. That which cannot be penetrated, in which you cannot move, which cannot be observed, then only you have come to the real self. You cannot witness the witnessing soul. Remember, that is absurd. If someone says that I have witnessed my witness, that is absurd. Why it is absurd? Because if you have witnessed your witnessing self, then the witnessing self is not the witnessing self. That who has witnessed it is witness. That which you can see, you are not. That which you can observe, you are not. That which you can become aware of, you are not. But a point comes beyond the mind where simply you are. And now you cannot divide your simple existence into two, object and subject. Simple subjectivity. Just witnessing. This is very, very difficult to comprehend through intellect, because all the categories of intellect are broken there. Because of this logical difficulty, Charvak, one of the most logical philosophical systems in the world, says that you cannot know the self. There is no self-knowledge. And because there is no self-knowledge, how can you say that there is a self? Whatsoever you know is not the self. The knower is the self, not the known. So you cannot say logically that I have known myself. That is absurd, illogical. How can you know yourself? Then who will be the knower? And who will be the known? Knowledge means a dichotomy, a division between object and subject, the knower and the known. So Charvak says that all those who say they have known themselves are talking nonsense. And according to their own ideas, they are talking nonsense. Self-knowledge is impossible. Because the self is irreducibly the knower. It cannot be converted into the known. Then Charvak says that if you cannot know the self, how can you say there is self? They are anatmavadi. No self is. They say there is no self. That which cannot be known is not. And they are right logically. If logic is all, they are right. But this is the mystery of life, that logic is only the beginning, not the end. And the moment comes, logic ends, but you don't end. A moment comes, logic is finished, but you are still there. Life is illogical. That's why it is difficult to comprehend, conceive, what is meant when only the witness remains. For example, if there is a lamp in this room, you see many objects around. When the lamp is put off, there is darkness and nothing can be seen. Then the lamp is put on, there is light and you can see everything in the room. But have you ever observed what is happening? If there are no objects, will you be able to see the lamp and its light? You will not be able to see its light, because to be seen, the light must reflect something. It must struck. The rays must go to the object and then be reflected. And then they will reach to your eyes. So first you see the objects and then you infer that the light is there. When you burn a lamp, are a candle, you never see the light first. First you see the objects, and because of the objects you come to know about the light. Scientists say if there are no objects, then light cannot be seen. Look at this car. It looks blue. It is not blue. It is filled with cosmic rays. It looks blue because there are no objects. So those rays cannot reflect and come to your eyes. If you go into the space and there are no objects, then there will be darkness. Of course, rays will be passing just by your side, but there will be darkness. To know the light, you have some objects to be there. Charvak says that if you enter in and come to the point where only the witness has remained and nothing to be witnessed, how can you know about it? Some object must be there to be witnessed. Only then you can know the witnesser. Logically, scientifically, it is right. But existentially, it is not right. Those who really move inside, they come to a point where there is no object left, but just consciousness of being. You are. Nothing is there to be seen. Only the seer. Only the seer. Simple subjectivity without any objects around it. The moment you come to this point, you have entered your ultimate core of being. You can call it the Alpha, the beginning, or you can call it the Omega, the end. It is both Alpha and Omega. This is called self-knowledge. Linguistically, the word is wrong. Because linguistically, nothing can be said about it. Language becomes meaningless when you enter the world of one. Language is meaningful only when you are in the world of two. In the world of dualism, language is meaningful because language is created, is part of the dualistic world. It becomes meaningless when you enter the one, the non-dual. That's why those who know have remained silent. Or even if they say something, they hurriedly add that whatsoever they are saying is just symbolic. And whatsoever they are saying is not exactly true. It is false. Lao Tse says, that which can be said cannot be true. And that which is true cannot be said. He remains silent. For his whole life he will not write anything. Because he said, if I say something, it will be untrue. Because nothing can be said about the realm where only one remains. Eyes closed, see your inner being in detail, body and mind both. Thus see your true nature. If you can see your body and mind, your structure, and remember, body and mind are not two things. Rather, you are both. Body, mind, psychosomatic. Mind is the finer part of the body, and body is the grosser part of the mind. So if you can become of the structure body-mind, aware, conscious of the structure, you are freed from the structure. You are freed from the vehicle. you have become different. And this knowing that you are separate from this structure is your true nature. That's what you are really. This body will die, but that true nature never dies. This mind will die and change and die again and again, but that true nature never dies. That true nature is eternal. That's why that true nature is neither your name nor your form. It is beyond both. So how to do this technique? Total closing of the eyes is needed. So if you try it, close your eyes and then start the movements. Let your eyes become just like stones. No movement allowed. Suddenly, any day practicing this, suddenly it will happen. You will become able to look within. The eyes which were always looking outside will turn in and you will have a glimpse inside. Then there is no difficulty. Once you have the glimpse, you know now what to do and how to move. Only the first glimpse is difficult. Then you know the neck. Then it becomes just like a trick. Any moment you can close your eyes, make your eyes static, and you have entered the realm. Buddha was dying the last day of his life, and he asked his disciples if they want to ask any question. They were weeping, crying, and they said, "You have told us so much. Now nothing is left to ask." So Buddha had this habit of asking thrice. He will never stop by asking once. He asked again. And then he asked again whether you have to ask any questions. Many times Buddha was asked, "Why you ask three times a single thing?" He said, "Because man is so unaware, so unconscious. He may not have heard the first time. He may have missed the second time." Thrice he asked, and thrice his bhikkhus, his disciples said, "No, we don't want to ask anything. You have said so much." Then he closed his eyes and then he said, "Now, if you don't have to ask anything, before death occurs to the body, I will move from it." Before death enters the body, I will move from it. He closed his eyes. His eyes became static. He started moving. So it is said that there were four parts of his movement in words. First, he closed his eyes. Second, his eyes became static. No movement. Then, if you heard the instruments of recording REM, REM, the graph will not come. Eyes became static. That was the second part. And the third part, he looked at his body. And the fourth part, he looked at his mind. This is the whole journey. Before death occurred, he was back into his center, into his original source. That's why this death is not called death. We call it nirvana. And this is the difference. We call it nirvana, cessation. not death. Ordinarily, we die because death occurs to us. It never occurred to Buddha. Before death came, he has returned already to the source. So death occurred only to the dead body. He was not there to be found. So in Buddhist tradition it is said he never died. Death couldn't catch him. It followed as it follows everyone. But he could not be trapped. He tripped out of it. He must have been laughing, standing beyond. And death was there with the dead body. This technique is the same. Make four parts of it and move. And when you know one glimpse, whole thing will become very easy and simple. Then any moment you can move and come out and go in and come out. Just like coming out of your house and going in, coming out and going in. Second technique, look upon a bowl without seeing the sides or the material, in a few moments become aware. Look at anything. A bowl or any object will do. But look with a different quality. Look upon a bowl without seeing the sides or the material. You look on any object, and two conditions are: don't look at the sides, look at the object as a whole. Ordinarily we look in parts. It may not be so consciously done, but we look at parts. If I look at you, first I see your face, then your torso, then your whole body. Look at an object as a whole. Don't divide in parts. Why? Because when you divide in parts, eyes have an opportunity to move from one part to another. Look at a thing as a whole. We can do it. I can look at you in two ways. I can look from this side and then move. Then I look A, then I look at B, then I look at C and go on moving. When I look at A, B and C are not present, are just present on the fringe, but not focused. When I look at B, I am leaving A. When I look C, A has been completely lost. He has gone out of my focus. I can look at this group in this manner, but I can look at the whole group, not dividing it into individuals, units, but taken as a whole. Try it. First look at a thing from one fragment to another. Then suddenly look at the thing as a whole. Don't divide it. When you look at a thing as a whole, eyes have no need to move. Not to give any opportunity for movement, this has been made a condition. Look at an object totally, taken as a whole. Secondly, without seeing the material, if the bowl is of wood, don't see the wood, just see the bowl, the form. Don't see the substance. It may be of gold, it may be of silver, or whatsoever. Don't look at the material of which it is made. Just look at the form. The first thing, look at it as a whole. Secondly, look at it as the form, not as the substance. Why? Because substance is the material part. Form is the spiritual part. And you are to move from the material to the non-material. It will be helpful. Try it. You can try it with anyone. Some man or some woman is standing. Look and take the man or woman wholly in your look, totally in it. It will be a weird feeling in the beginning because you are not habituated at it, but a very beautiful in the end. And then don't think whether the body is beautiful or not, white or black, man or woman. Don't think. Just look at the form. Forget the substance and look at the form. In a few moments, become aware. Go on looking at the form as a whole. Don't allow the eyes any movement. Don't start thinking about the material. What will happen? You will suddenly become aware of yourself. Looking at something, you will become aware of yourself. Why? Because for the eyes, there is no possibility to move outward. The form has been taken as a whole, so you cannot move to the parts. The material has been dropped. A pure form has been taken. A form, no thinking is possible. A form is just a form. You cannot think about it. If it is of gold, you can think many things. You may like to steal it, or to do something with it, or to sell it, or the price, or many things are possible. About pure form, no thinking is possible. Pure form, it stops thinking. And no possibility of changing from one part to another. You have taken it as a whole. Remain with the whole and the form. Suddenly, you will become aware of yourself. Because now the eyes cannot move. And they need movement. That's their nature. So your look will move towards you. It will come back. It will return home. And suddenly you will become aware of yourself. This becoming aware of oneself is one of the most ecstatic moments possible. When for the first time you become aware of yourself, it has such beauty and such bliss that you cannot compare it with anything else you have known. Really, for the first time you become yourself. For the first time you know you are. Your being is revealed in a flesh. But why it happens? You might have seen in children's books particularly a picture, or in some psychological treatises. But I hope everyone must have seen somewhere or other a picture of an old woman. And in the same lines, a beautiful young woman is also hidden. One picture, same lines, but two figures in it. One old woman one young woman. Look at the picture, you cannot become aware of both simultaneously. You may become aware either of one or the other. If you have become aware of the old woman, you cannot see where the young woman is hiding. But if you try to find out, it will be difficult. And the very effort will become a barrier. Because you have become aware of the old woman, now it has become a fixed thing in your eyes. With this fixed thing, you are trying to find out the young woman. Impossible. You will not be able to find. You have to do a technique. Stare at the old woman, forget the young completely. Stare at the old woman's figure. Stare, go on stare. Suddenly, the old woman will disappear and you will become aware of the young woman hiding there. Why? If you try to find out, you will miss. And this picture is given to children like a puzzle. And it is said to them, find out the other. And they start trying to find out. And because of that, they miss. The trick is, don't try to find out. Just stare at the figure you have become aware. Forget the other. No need to think about it. Your eyes cannot remain at one point. So the old woman's figure, if you stare at it, the eyes will be tired. And now suddenly they will move from that figure. And in that moment you will become aware of the other figure which is hidden just side by side, in the same lines. But a miracle, because when you become aware of the young woman, you cannot see the old woman. And you know that she is there now. In the beginning you may not have believed that the young woman is hiding. But now you know, because you have seen the old woman first. Now you know that the old woman is there, but simultaneously looking at the young, you cannot become aware of the old. And if you become aware of the old, you will miss the young again. Both cannot be seen simultaneously. You can see only one at a time. The same happens with the outside look and the inside look. You cannot have both looks simultaneously. When you are looking at a bowl or anything, you are looking out. The consciousness is moving out. The river is flowing out. You are focused at the bowl. Go on staring at it. That very stare will create the opportunity where your eyes will be tired and they would like to move, and finding nothing to move out, suddenly the river will turn backwards. That remains the only possibility. You have forced your consciousness to fall back, and when you will become aware of you, you will miss the bow. It will not be there. That's why a Shankara or a Nagarjuna, they say the whole world is illusory. We have known it. Because when we came to know ourselves, the world was not. Really, the world is not illusory. It is there. But you cannot see both simultaneously. That is the problem. So when a Shankara enters into himself, and when he comes to know himself, when he becomes a witness, the world is not there. So he is right. He says it is Maya, illusion. It simply appears, it is not there. Be aware of the fact. When you know the world, you are not. You are there, hidden. And you cannot believe that you are there, hidden. The world is too much. And if you start to find out yourself, it will be difficult. the very effort may become a barrier. So Tantra says, fix your stare somewhere in the world, on any object, and don't move from there, remain there. This very effort to remain there will create the possibility when the consciousness begins to flow upwards, backwards. Then you will become aware of yourself. But when you will become aware of yourself, the bowel will not be there. It is there. But for you it will not be there. So Shankara says the world is illusory. Because when I come to know myself, it is not there. It disappears like a dream. And Charvak and Epicurus and Marx, they are also right. They say the world is true and yourself is just false. It is nowhere to be found. And science is true. Science is only matter is. Only objects are. There is no subject. They are true because the eyes are focused on the object. A scientist is doing constantly focusing on objects. He forgets the self completely. Both Shankara and Marx are right in a sense and wrong in another. If you are fixed with the world, your look is fixed at the world, the self will look illusory, just a dream. If you are looking inwards, the world will become a dream. Both are real, but you cannot be aware of both simultaneously. That's the problem. And nothing can be done. You will miss the old woman or you will miss the young woman. One will become Maya, illusory. But this technique can be used easily. It will take a little time, but it is not difficult. Once you know the turning of consciousness, you can do it anywhere. Just riding in a bus or sitting in a train, you can do it anywhere. No need of a bowl or any particular object, with anything. With anything, stare, and suddenly turn inwards. And the train disappears. Of course, when you come back from your inner journey, you would have traveled, but the train disappears. From one station you will reach to another. In between there will be no train, a gap. Of course train was there, otherwise how can you come to the other station? But it was not for you. For you it was not. Those who can practice this technique, they can live in the world very easily. Any moment, they can help anything disappear. Remember this. You are bothered with your wife or with your husband, you can help disappear. The wife is there sitting just by your side and she is not there. Maya. She has disappeared just by staring and turning your consciousness inward. She is not there. And it has happened many times. I remember Socrates. His wife, Xenthope, was very much worried about him. And any wife would have been in the same dilemma. To find a Socrates as a husband is one of the most difficult things to tolerate. Socrates is good as a teacher, not as a husband. One day it happened, and because of it, his wife has been condemned for 2,000 years continuously. But that is not just. I don't think she has done anything wrong. Socrates was sitting there. He must have done something like this. It is not recorded, I assume. He must have done something like this. His wife came with a tray, teapots, to give him tea. She must have found that he is not there. So it is reported that she poured the tea over Socrates, over his face. Then suddenly he came back. The face remained burned for his whole life. And because of this, his wife has been condemned very much. But no one knows what Socrates was doing there. Because suddenly no wife will do it. No need. He must have done something. Something must have been there. That's why Xenophon had to throw tea over him. He must be in an inner trance. And the burning sensation of the tea must have brought him back. The consciousness should have returned. And I assume that this was the case because there are many other cases reported about Socrates which are similar. For 48 hours he was not found. He was searched all over. The whole Athens went in search of Socrates. He was not to be found anywhere. Then he was found outside the city, miles away, standing under a tree. His half of the body was just under snow. Snow was falling. And he was just frozen, standing there, with open eyes. But he was not looking at anyone. When the crowd gathered around, they looked into his eyes, they thought he is dead. His eyes were just like stones. Looking, but not looking at anyone. Just static, unmoving. They felt his heart, it was beating slowly. He is alive. Then they had to give him shocks. Only then he came back and looked at them. Immediately he is asked, what is the time now? 48 hours he missed completely. They never existed for him. He was not in this world of time and space. So they asked what you were doing. We thought you are dead already. 48 hours. He said, I was staring at the stars. And just suddenly it happened that stars disappeared. And then I don't know. Then the whole world disappeared. But I remained in a such cool, calm, a blissful state that if it is death, then it is worth thousands of lives. If it is death, then I would like to enter it again and again. It may have happened without his knowledge, because Socrates was not a yogi, not a tantric. He was not in any way concerned consciously with any spiritual practice. But he was a great thinker. And it may have happened as an accident that he was staring at the stars in the night, and suddenly his look returned back. You can do it, and its stars are really rare good objects. Lie down on the ground, look at the black sky, and then fix yourself at one star. Concentrate on it, stare on it. Narrow down your consciousness to one star. Forget other stars by and by, concentrate, narrow down. Other stars will be there just on the fringe, boundary, and by and by they will disappear and only one star will remain. Then go on staring, go on staring. A moment will come, that star will disappear. And when that star disappears, you will appear to yourself. Third technique. See as if for the first time a beauteous person or an ordinary object. Some basic things first, then you can do this technique. We look at things with always old eyes. You come to your home, you look at it without looking at it. You know it. There is no need to look at it. You have entered it again and again, years together. You go to your door, you enter the door, you may unlock the door, but there is no need to look. This whole process goes on robot-like, mechanical, unconscious. If something goes wrong only, if your key is not fitting in the lock, you look at the lock. If the key fits, you never look at the lock. Because of mechanical habits, repeatedly doing the same thing again and again, you lose the capacity to look. You lose the freshness to look. Really, you lose the function of your eyes. Remember this. You become basically blind because eyes are not needed. Remember the last time you looked at your wife. It may have been years away. Last time you looked at your wife or at your husband. For how many years you have not looked? You just pass. A casual glimpse, but not a look. Go again and look at your wife or at your husband as if you are looking for the first time. Why? Because if you are looking at the first time, your eyes will be filled with a freshness. They will become alive. You are passing through a street. A beautiful woman passes. Your eyes become alive, lighted. A sudden flame comes to them. This woman may be a wife to someone. He will not look at her. he may become as alive as you have become seeing your wife. Why? For the first time, eyes are needed. Second time, not so much. Third time, not needed. Repeatedly, you become blind. We live blindly. Be aware. When you meet your children, are you looking at them? You are not looking at them. This habit kills eyes. Eyes become bored. Repeatedly the old, again and again. And nothing is old really. Just your habit makes you feel so. Your wife is not the same she was yesterday. She cannot be. Otherwise she is a miracle. Nothing can be the same next moment. Life is flux. Everything is flowing. Nothing is same. The same sunrise will not happen. In a very physical sense also, the sun is not the same. Every day it is new. Basic changes have occurred. And the sky will not be the same again. This morning is not going to come again. And every morning has its own individuality. And the sky and the colors, they will not gather in the same pattern again. But you go on moving as if everything is just the same. They say nothing is new under the sky. Really, nothing is old under the sky. Only eyes become old, accustomed, then nothing is new. For children, everything is new. That's why everything gives them excitement. Even a colored stone on a beach, they are so excited. You will not be excited even seeing God himself coming to your house. You will not be so excited. You will say, I know him. I have read about him. Children are so excited because their eyes are new and fresh. And everything is a new world, a new dimension. Look at children's eyes, the freshness, the radiant aliveness, the vitality, the look, mirror-like, silent but penetrating. Only such eyes can reach within. So this technique says, see as if for the first time. A beauteous person or an ordinary object, anything will do. Look at your shoes you have been using for years. Look as if for the first time and see the difference, the quality changes suddenly of your consciousness. I wonder whether you have seen or not. Van Gogh's painting of his shoe. It is one of the rarest things. just an old suit, tired, sad, as if just on the verge of death. Old suit. But look at it. Feel it. And you'll feel what a long, boring life this Sue must have passed through. So sad. Just praying to be taken away from life. Tired completely. Every nerve broken. Just an old man. Old Sue. It is one of the most original paintings. But how could Van Gogh see it? You have even more old Sue's with you. More tired, more dead, more sad, depressed. But you have never looked at him. What you have done to them, how you have behaved with them. They tell a long story about you because they are your souls. They can say everything about you. If they can write, they can write a most authentic biography of the person they had to live with. Every mood, every phase, when the person was in love, he behaved differently with the Sus. When he was angry, he behaved differently. And Sus were not concerned at all. And everything has left a mark. Look at Van Gogh's painting and then you will see what he could see in the Sus, everything. The whole biography of the person who was using them. But how could he see? A painter, to be a painter, has to regain the children's look, the freshness. He can look at everything, most ordinary. He can look. Caesar has painted a chair, just an ordinary chair. And even if you may wonder why, painting a chair, no need. But he worked on that painting for months together. You may not stop for a single moment to look at it. And he worked for months because he could look at a chair. A chair has its own spirit, its own story, its own miseries and happinesses. It has lived. It has passed through life. It has its own experiences, memories. They all are revealed in Caesar's painting. But you look at your chair, no one looks at it. No one feels it. Any object will do. This technique is just to make your eyes fresh. So fresh, alive, radiantly vital, that they can move within. And can have a look of your inner self. See as if for the first time. Make it a point to see everything as if for the first time. And sometimes suddenly, and you will be surprised, what a beautiful world you have been missing. Suddenly become aware and look at your wife as if for the first time. And no wonder, you may feel again the same love you felt for the first time. The same surge of energy, the same attraction and the pull. But look as if for the first time. beauteous person or an ordinary object, what will happen? You will regain your eyesight. You are blind. Just now as you are blind. And this blindness is more fatal than physical blindness. Because you have eyes and still you cannot look. Jesus says many times, those who have eyes, let them see. Those who have ears, let them hear. It seems he was talking to blind men or to deaf men. But he goes on repeating. So was he a superintendent in some blind institute? He goes on repeating, if you have eyes, look. He must be talking with ordinary men who have eyes. But why insisting that if you have eyes, look? He is talking about these eyes, this technique can give you. Look at everything you pass as if for the first time. Make it a continuous attitude. Touch everything as if for the first time. What will happen? If you can do this, you will be freed from your past. The burden, the dust, the dirtiness, the accumulated experience, you will be freed from it. Every moment, move from the past. Don't allow it to end with you. Don't allow it to be carried. Leave it. Look at everything as if for the first time. This is a great technique to help you to be freed from the past. Then you are constantly in the present. And by, you will have an affinity with the present. Then everything is new. Then you will be able to understand Heraclitus saying that you cannot step twice in the same river. You cannot see the person twice, the same person. Because nothing is static. Everything is river-like, flowing and flowing and flowing. If you are freed from the past and you have the look which can see the present, you will enter existence. And this entry will be double. You will enter in everything in its spirit. And you will enter in yourself also. Because present is the door. All meditations, in one way or other, try you to live in the present. So this technique is one of the most beautiful techniques and easy. And you can try it. And without any danger. Looking fresh. Passing through the same street as if, again, it is a new street. Meeting the same friend as if he is a stranger. Looking at your wife as you looked for the first time when she was a stranger. And really, can you say, is she still not a stranger? You may have lived for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years with her. But can you say that are you acquainted still with her? She is still a stranger. Two strangers living together. You know the outward habits of each other, the outward reactions, but the inner core of the being is unknown, untouched. look fresh, again as if for the first time, and you will see the same stranger. Nothing, nothing has become old. Everything is new. This will give you a freshness of your look. Your eyes will become innocent. Those innocent eyes can see. Those innocent eyes can enter into the inner world. Enough for today.